Well, you know, the wave, the 7 o'clock wave of light and grace that we started, TJ, it is growing. It is growing. People are passing the word on to their friends, and they're liking it on Facebook.
No, for people
Isn't that...
I think it's awesome. And how did this come forward, and what is this wave?
Oh, you're in interviewing mode.
I'm just curious because I don't even know what it is. I never heard of this thing before. So, you know, I'm just throwing that out.
Well, if you remember it.
Wait.
Okay, remember that night we were talking on the phone discussing this?
No.
Co-creating it together. Oh, yes. Come on, own it. Remember speaking truth, all that good stuff, right?
I was just trying to lead into it for people that don't know what this wave is. What do you call it? A 7 o'clock wave of light?
Light grace wave. Yeah, light grace wave, whichever term you want to use. See, what we're doing, as you know, and thank you for asking those questions for our listeners. But what we're doing is we are sending grace and light to the whole of the Middle East, and now we're also adding Algeria to all the souls there, and we're doing it without any attachment, so we can see how the grace and the light manifest resolutions where it's needed most. So that's what we're doing.
And what time is that going to be held at then, I wonder?
7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and there's no phone in number. You can do it wherever you are. You just take 5 minutes, and you just send light and grace. Now, we have some Christians that want to pray. I tell them, whatever you want to do, it's all about us working together and being able to be effective in a way where we might otherwise feel helpless, so we can reach with our consciousness and our hearts and souls to those that are calling out for help.
So it's kind of nice. You can just do it from wherever you're at. And even if you can't do it at that time, you can still send out a thought, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you just unify. You say, I want to unify with that wave. So it's like if you can imagine a wave, like a really big wave, and it's spreading out and it's going out across the land, and you know, whatever you add to that wave, its momentum builds. Whatever time you do it is fine. But we're making an intention for 7, for as many people that can. Mary did it with us one night too, but for as many people that can do 7 o'clock, so it helps foundation it, and others can add in whenever they need to.
Cool. Got to remember that tonight. Let me set my watch alarm right now. Okay, 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Do the wave. Yep.
And speaking of Mary, yes. So speaking of Mary, I'm really excited about our very special guest today, Mary Reed. She's somebody I've known for years, and she's truly very gifted in many ways, and she's also an author. And I know, TJ, this is your first meeting with her, but it's lovely that she agreed to come on. So I want to say hi, Mary. It's great to have you.
Hi, Joy. It's my pleasure, and thank you for asking me.
Sure. TJ, this is Mary. Mary, this is TJ.
Boy, you know, I'm trying to figure out what accent that is. Where are you from there, Mary?
West Virginia.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful spot, West Virginia.
More the panhandle, about an hour and a half from D.C.
Well, it's nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you.
Yes, and we're, like I said, we're very excited to have you here with us, Mary. You're an author. I know you've been an author for quite some time, and I've had the privilege of going through and reading the book and looking at things, and I've known you for a long time, so I feel like I can cheat a little, but your book is so very easy to read, and it's thought-provoking, and it's really filled with life lessons and wisdoms and esoteric kind of happenings. It's very engaging. TJ, this is something I think you'd really enjoy reading, you know?
Sure.
I know, yeah, it's really cool. And it talks a little about it. I think you went to the website, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. HealingPointOfView.com.
Yeah.
And, there's Mary's really... picture. There she is. Look at her. And then there's the book. I really like the design of the book, Mary. That's pretty cool.
Well, thank you. I was actually told that this book, people could pick it up and not read it and be healed.
Hmm.
And some would only have to read a page or two. And I think it's all about the intention that I wrote the book for.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It is. It really is. So, hey, Mayor, from reading your book, right, I got the impression, because I was reading things on your family,
yeah.
I got the impression your deepest connection was with your grandmother.
I stayed with my grandmother, Rachel, my mother's.
Mother.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. In that connection, right, I noticed that she was very kind-hearted and she reached out to others. And when you were little, is she like someone you looked at and you thought, oh, I'm going to model myself after her? That's the one that I really feel the strongest connection to.
Well, actually, to be honest with you, I had a very good connection with her, but I think my grandfather, her husband, my grandfather.
Oh, yeah, her husband, too. Yeah.
He was a minister, and I think he was the first person that I felt had accepted me for who I was. And
so he gave you unconditional love.
Yes.
Wow.
So and I felt that was the closest connection.
Okay.
Although I did feel connected to my grandmother, in that when she died, I knew something was wrong. The night she died, I was not able to sleep until the policeman came and said she had passed in the car wreck. So there was a connection.
Yeah, so you had a premonition feeling when she
was
dying.
I think my mother did, too, because she couldn't sleep either.
Mm.
So this was kind of running in your family, this kind of sense of psychic knowing. People responded to each other in those ways quite a bit, I noticed, in the book.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, when you were little, do you remember seeing spirits or anything like that or talking about things like that to your family?
Not really. I did, I think I mentioned it in the book, one time I was upstairs and I kept hearing... I three times heard someone say Mary. And the first time I went downstairs, and my mother, I asked my mother, even though the voice did not sound like my mother, nobody else was around. So I went down and I said, "What do you want?" And she said, "I didn't call you." And the third time I went down, she said, "Well, maybe God is calling you." So I went back upstairs scared to death. And I didn't hear it anymore. But I was petrified. But I still went
So when you went upstairs, you didn't say, "Yo, God, what's up?"
No, I just said, okay. But petrified at the same time. Because actually, I do not hear things too often. But when I do, the two times I have, they've been profound, because one time I was at a medical intuitive class, it was third level, I believe, and we were to do this exercise, and I said, "What do you do when the wall comes up between two people. And that's usually because you disagree with what they're doing. You don't approve of who they are, even though mm-hmm. you may love them. And this wall was mm-hmm. there. I noticed it observing my sister with my father, but it was there with me too, but not as quite as hard. And mm-hmm. I sat there waiting for an answer, and I heard this answer, open your heart. And I thought, whoa. Mm-hmm. And I started to cry because that's basically, you know, accepting people as they are. And another time when I was meditating, and people that meditate and don't get anything, you usually do get something from the meditation, if nothing else, becoming quiet within yourself. And mm-hmm. this particular one, though, I was surprised because I another voice, and it's the message was, love is the reason you are here. Mm-hmm. That about knocked me off, too. So
yeah.
Only two times, but they've been very profound, what I've heard.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it sounds like the first time, even though you didn't get a message, what you got was the sense that Spirit was letting you know, hey, I'm here, we're connected, huh?
I always felt this connection with God.
Did you?
And so I've always felt that, and probably it's something passed down, because when I read the thing about my grandfather saying he got the message to become a minister and he didn't, then he got the message again, said, you didn't listen to me. And so, yes, I think it's something that came down from my grandfather.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. In the book, he is really a very sweet soul. You can see that, you know. I think one of the things I was really impressed by was when you describe the people in your book, you talk about their stuff, but you talk about their essence and their light very clearly with that, which is really, it's when you read the book, people can read this and really integrate and get the sense that, hey, everybody's got stuff and some deeper than others, and yet here's this light. And I think you really approach that very beautifully.
Oh, well, thank you.
And yeah, because you can see, even with all their acting out and everything, that you honor your family and you get why you were connected and in that family. So, but I have a question. This seems a little off, but I was just curious about something, and because I know you're into peace work and everything too, and I'm wondering, when you were a little girl, did you see any racism? Did you see anything like that living in the South? Or
of course.
You did. Was it extreme?
No, not. I was not, but you know, it's all about not accepting people as they are and loving them as they are. It doesn't matter if it's racism or you're a different church than I am, or you got different color skin, you're from here and I'm from here. It's like one of the Buddha examples in my book, and that was, if you look for the differences in each other, then we grow further apart. But if you look for that which is the same, then we grow together.
Yes. Beautiful. Love Buddha, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was profound. Someone sent it to me, I believe, in an email. And
nice.
I passed it on.
Yeah, I like the Laughing Buddha particularly, too. Which brings us to TJ. TJ, do you have any questions for Mayor at this point?
I am just looking at your site, and, you know, I didn't get the chance to read the book, but I understand that you went through, and so many people that write about experiences go through abusive times in their life. Do you feel that was as you stand and look at it now, something that kind of prepared you, Mary, for, you know, it's hard to look at it, you know, when it's happening and see that this is something I can really learn from? Or did you take that away from that? Is it something that you really felt could help others?
Well, actually, that's why I wrote the book. Okay. And even though as a child, since I was the third out of five, my perspective was different. When my father was beating my mother, I'll give you a for instance. In one of my talks, my sister came up to me and she said, I know it wasn't every other day, but it felt like every other day I was afraid Dad would kill Mom. Mm. So me, I had this fear every day. And but my perspective was a little bit different. I could see, I didn't agree with it, but I could see how my mother was a fighter, and she instigated a lot, and she could have done something different. But she was frustrated in her own life, and so therefore she fought with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And because I could see this, I kind of stood back from it, and as my sister later told me, she said, I always thought you were the weak one in the family, but now I don't think so. Maybe you were the smart one, because mm-hmm. I never got into it. Because I could see where that, I could see how my mother was creating that, especially since my father was usually drunk or drinking
right.
when she had, would instigate.
That's something very similar.
Even though I disagree.
That's very similar to my mom, what I went through. But my dad never physically. He just got into it verbally with her. And she would keep kind of like defending. He might call somebody a racist name, and my mom's response would be, Gene, don't say that. And then, of course, it would just light him up. And we'd ask Mom afterwards, why'd you do that? Well, he shouldn't say those things, and I'm trying to change him. And you really can't, can you, too much, Mary?
No, and actually, I had that with my mother because she brought me up to with different values. And I later I would take her out somewhere, you know, later on. And I noticed, and in my book I mentioned this, that she would say something, and I think she really wanted to fight. And once I recognized that she wanted to fight, I would just say, Mom, we are never going to agree on this subject. So let's drop it. And once I started doing that, she was actually teaching me, if you understand what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
that I wanted to fight or we couldn't have the battle, even though it was a war battle. And when people have different opinions, it's okay. And now I just, when someone has a different opinion, I said, okay, that's your, mm-hmm. it's okay, it's your opinion. And it doesn't mean I will agree with it, but we all have different mm-hmm. opinions. It's whether you want to get
sure.
into the battle about it and change someone
right.
that mm-hmm. is a problem. So I let go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. I enjoyed my mother more.
Yeah, we have to let go.
We knew
We let her be who she was. Yeah.
Yes. And it was amazing. It was amazing the difference in our relationship. And actually, I told her because she was very negative. She said, nobody comes to visit me. And I said, well, Mom, would you like to visit someone that the whole time they're putting down people or they're complaining about something? She said, no. I said, well, I don't either. So I had one day, I made up the rule. I said, if you get negative, I'm going to leave, Mom. It's just, it's up to you. And one day I was up there, and she was getting negative. All of a sudden, she switched, and I barely noticed that she had switched. And when I left, she said, I'm sorry, I was getting negative. And I thought, she, on her own, was making change. But I set up a rule, and that's what I was going to go by. And she knew I would leave. But I was amazed. I said, my God, she's shifting herself. I don't have to shift her. But I know what I want to experience and what I don't want to experience.
Yeah. Can you see too, like that? With I feel this thing with her, your dad and her, that she didn't feel she was worthy of love.
Oh, absolutely. And
yeah, and that was the crux of the fight. It was the fight with herself that she wanted the love. And when people tried to give it to her, she couldn't receive it, so she'd create a smokescreen by fighting with them.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting. I met your mom, too.
I know.
And she...
I love my mom. I love my mom, but at the same time, I couldn't be around her.
I hear you. I hear you.
Until I set up some rules.
Yes. Yes.
Listen.
And it was beautiful to see her come out of it, come out of her stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That, to me, was, but she helped me to come out my stuff, too.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I could really see that, you know. The other thing is, too, I there's something with your dad that struck me in the book, and bringing him up and his behavior and talking about how violent he was. You know that part in your book when you describe how he was hidden someplace for 2 days and nobody
right.
knew he was gone, and he was like an infant?
Right.
Did I read that right? My
yeah.
God, and how many days, and how did that happen? Can you hear this, TJ? For 2 days, he was gone as an infant, and they didn't even know he was missing.
How does that happen?
I know. I read that. I was like, no wonder this man had stuff, you know? It was almost like just that by itself would leave somebody with the impression, I don't exist, you know? It's like, holy cow. So can you tell us a little more about that part?
No, because this is something my mother told me, so I just relayed it as part of his experience. You know, he also, she thought he had meningitis because when he was in the, I believe, 7th grade, he had to go back to 1st grade because he had to relearn everything over again. Learn to walk again.
Yeah. So he was victimized like over and over.
Yes.
Wow.
But then and I explained how my grandfather was, too. As my aunt told me, he was mean to the boys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my mother and father were both rebels. Because my mother was the first child of a minister who she was expected to be perfect. And she probably, and I was kind of like that too with my first one. Then your second one, you're not as, you don't expect as much.
Because
you already have one, and then you get a third and a fourth. And your expectation, because you've got more children. And I think you grow a little bit too as you. But I think the first child. You know, they're a mirror of you. You expect them to be perfect. Thank God my daughter turned out okay, despite me. But I feel, because I have a letter from my daughter in the book, telling me, the oldest one, telling me how much she appreciated me more since she was older and understood that I had done a lot with them. It was very rewarding to get that note from her. I'm sure I gave her some problems, too. I just passed them along the way I was passed along to me. And that's part of it. Part of my book was to let people also know some of this is just passed on and keeps passing on until we make a decision that we don't want to pass it on anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to see people become empowered, self-empowered. That's one of the reasons I have the peace gatherings here once a year, sometimes mm-hmm. more. But it's to have people become at peace within themselves, because then you're not seeking power from other people. It's within you and your yeah. connection to God that is yep. important. And that we love and accept people just as they are. We don't have to change them.
Yeah.
I've had plenty of lessons on that.
mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had this thing when I was reading that I was really, really struck by. Was in your history, you described your history and everything, and I watched as you integrated your life lessons. I read that as I was reading that, rather. I could, like, see the images of what you wrote and, like, the part in the story you told about the turtle, and you made a decision at that point, and you were very, very young making these really strong life choices. You right. started doing that very early on, Mary, and a lot of people don't really get the power of choice the way that you did that early in your life. You were just a little girl when you were learning and made a choice to not do something if it didn't feel right. Some people go through their whole lives and never encounter that. And I wonder if that came, well, you know, as I was reading that, it was like whether you felt connected or God, you were connected and living it, maybe not feeling it, but living it. Very fascinating. Very fascinating to watch read your process there, you know.
Well, I did because of what I went through as a child, though. And I think when you go through trauma, and you know this too, that you stop mm-hmm. feeling because it's a way of protecting yourself.
And oh, yeah. I found this, shut down.
I found this through massage therapists. Would you feel that? Well, I didn't feel nothing. You know? mm-hmm. She would say this released or that released. Well, I didn't feel anything. Okay, so she did. Okay. And now that when I get a massage, I can tell the difference. Because
yes.
now I feel it's okay to feel.
Mm-hmm. Why did you become a massage therapist, Mary?
Oh, well, I actually went to a psychic, and they told me to get massages. And the first lady I went to actually worked on me for probably a couple of months, and I went every week, and she said... maybe it was 3 months, she just said, oh, you finally have color in the back of your back. I said, well, she said, your back was white. And she said, you have 3 layers of muscles in your neck, and every one of them had knots in them. And so she got pregnant, and I couldn't go to her anymore. So I went to another massage therapist. Her name was Alice Fair. And she was awesome because she did different techniques. And she did put reflexology on me. And I never could tell any difference. And one day I was in so much pain with my arm, I went down there, even though it was an hour away. And when I got there, I could not lay on the table. And I said, I can't lay here. I'm in too much pain. She said, get in the platform rocker and I'll do your feet. I said, okay. So after she did foot reflexology, I was surprised I could lay on the table. I was in less pain. And so she was teaching the class, and I went to her class, and one of the ladies told me after I worked on it, you should do this. You should do this. Well, I had a friend, and she said, oh, Mary, why don't you do me? And so I did, and she said, learn more. And I was at my other friend, you know, Joyce Gideon. I was yeah. at her place one day, And I was thinking, I didn't want to go to D.C. or whatever. So I was looking through a newspaper down there, and it said the Virginia School of Massage in Winchester had a class, and it was 2 days after I read the article. So I called on Monday and started class on Tuesday. Basically, well, even the massage therapist, Alice Fair, had told me the first two times I went there, she said, you should be a massage therapist. Have you ever thought about it? I said, nope. I was a CPA controller. No, I'm not interested. And so twice she told me, I said, do you tell people later, years later? She said, no, I never say that to anybody.
Wow.
So it's like it's a complete different change of doing the more rational and actually so much more rewarding to me. And I know how it has helped me become who I am. And I'm more sensitive now to when I'm working on people. And actually, you were one of the persons that let me know that what I felt on long distance Reiki was correct.
Mm.
You know, what I could feel.
Yeah. So, I remember talking to you in the garden about you doing healing or something.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, I can attest to the fact that you're an amazing massage therapist. And you are. You're really, like, excellent. And what modalities are you incorporating nowadays?
Oh, the foot reflexology, myofascia, Swedish massage. I do quantum healing. Of course, I'm a Reiki master. And I have a little bit of cranial sacral. And I found that I was actually doing some of that even though I didn't know what I was doing. So it was more intuitive.
Yeah.
So, TJ.
Yes.
There's quite an array. As Mary's saying this, I'm wondering if you experienced any of these or have you had this kind of massage before?
No, but I wanted to ask what you said. You said you did quantum healing. Maybe define a couple of these things, because maybe, you know, I don't even know what is quantum healing.
Well, it's more, I would say it was more my medical intuitive one. I have found when I do, it's basically I'm doing the blast to the spine that I see in front of me, whoever I'm working. And if the blast work for it to bring it back to balance, then my head jerks. I have no control over it. If it doesn't work, my head doesn't jerk.
Hmm.
So it's a symbol, I guess, God gave me to, hey, yeah, this works. And it's interesting because one lady I had done about four blasts and nothing was doing any good. And I said, do you want to get rid of this issue? And she said, oh. And she said, okay, I'm ready. And it worked. But it's much like most energy work. I have found, before I learned Reiki, that I was doing energy work anyway. Because I basically, any kind of energy work I do, I just see the light of God flowing through me and the love and just have it go to whoever I'm working on. And they'll decide what they want to do with it.
So it really is it's a individual. You can, you know, this is something I ask people that do healing all the time. It's really up to the individual because they have their own choices.
Right. I always feel like I feel like I've been told I'm a very good facilitator, let's put it that way. And I know the higher you can keep your energy, your force field around you, then your frequency is higher. So when you're working on someone with a lower frequency, this helps their frequency to rise. But I always feel that the client does basically 99% of it, that I'm just there helping them facilitate it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has worked pretty good. And I love doing massage and the energy work because I see the difference in people's faces when they leave. I've actually seen personality differences from someone coming in. When I was in massage school, you had to trade with someone, have a partner. And one day I did it with a lady that was, I'd never worked with her. And she came in, I would say she was in a foul mood. And I thought, well, usually I worked on the person first. And when I got done, she was better. And then I know she was really good on me. And I said, wow, this is good. And the next day I was telling her what my hairdresser had said. Because actually my hairdresser is the reason I wrote the book. He had told me, I only go see him maybe once a year, and he said, after one of the episodes I was going through where I broke up with my boyfriend of 9-10 years, and I was thinking, I thought my boss was going to fire me, and he wasn't. He actually offered me more money, he just wanted me to work more hours. But what happened? He said, I was telling him, you know, these things going on in my perspective. He said, let me tell you who you are. He said, and I was telling this to the teacher. This other lady happened to be present. He said, you only have to be present. You don't have to say anything or do anything, and you heal me. He said, but if you speak, your words heal me. He said, and if you touch me, electricity goes through my body, and I'm healed. And this teacher said, oh, that's wrong. And this lady who I worked on said, oh, no, she's right. And mm-hmm. I thought, oh, Lord. So she mm-hmm. was a confirmation of what he
yeah.
said. But because of that, I wrote the book, because I knew my sense was I need to express myself in the book to help other
yeah.
people. And that's
yeah.
actually why I wrote the book.
Yes, and I can attest to the fact that I've been on your table, and I've had you work on me when I've been really, really sick. TJ, Mary worked on me. She was one of the first healers that worked on me when I went through that thing where I couldn't walk for a year,
mm-hmm.
and it was she and I were at the beach, and she would work on my feet because I didn't know I didn't have any circulation in my feet, and Mary it just kept going to my feet, and she would do this thing, and because she did that, you know, for like I was actually able to sleep a few hours. Now, as things progressed, I didn't see her, and I couldn't sleep at all, but it was because of her I could do that, and it was amazing because that was the last time I was able to put my feet in the ocean. I was with Mary, and I have such deep gratitude for what she did, and there was this one time she had me on a table. And this was before that, but I believed something materialized under the massage table during that session, and I think it was a feather. And it was interesting because feathers are like one of my favorite things ever. She's very good, if I do say so myself. So I'd like to validate Louise because I know Louise, and I don't know who the lady was, but I want to validate her and you, Mary, okay?
Okay.
Excellent job. And I wish, TJ, you guys were closer so that, you know, you could get this done with her. But, I mean, I have a feeling you may meet one day, so we'll just hold that intention. How's that sound?
Well, you can do it at a distance as well, but thank you, yes. Can you do it? You said you could do it. You don't have to be in presence with somebody, right, Mary?
I mean, if you want a session, let me know.
Okay. I'd be willing to give it a shot.
You know, my son-in-law and daughter in Colorado, well, they're in Colorado now, but I taught my daughter and my grandson Reiki. Fact, when I was in an accident back about 4 or 5 years ago, a car hit me head-on, well, not head-on, but driver's side. He was passing on a non-passing zone, two or three cars, and he hit me. Fortunately, my neighbor pulled off the road a little bit, and he hit me just driver's side. When my car, after the impact, my car went through the air and hit a telephone pole, but on the way there, I felt neck pain in my right side and down my arm. And so when I was in the ambulance, I asked him to call my daughter to do some long-distance Reiki, and my grandson did, though, because my daughter was in class. She did after she got out of class. But he's empathic in that he feels, we didn't know it until this happened, he feels pain wherever there's pain in whoever he's working on. Because when he worked on me, and he only worked on me 5 or 10 minutes, maybe only 5 minutes, he said he had so much pain in his right side of his neck and arm that he got scared and quit working. That's where I had the pain when I, which was interesting, when I had the second impact from that accident. But I actually work on them too. And my daughter had one. She was, she called me when she was in the hospital, and they were taking her back into the emergency room because a car had hit her, sideswiped her, and. She said she knew instantly when I was started working on her, because she said she almost relaxed completely on the board they had put her on. So it's quite profound, even the long distance one. It depends on the person and what they're willing to accept.
Yes.
And that's true on any healing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, I'd like to go back to something here. I know we have like a few minutes, but there's something too I wanted to talk about. With I know you have 20 years with peace gatherings that you do. What led you to do this, Mary?
Actually, you can give my sister Beatrice the credit for that. I had started doing gardens, and some of it was sacred geometry, and I had no idea because I'd never studied sacred geometry. I made a circle with a star in the front garden, and then I made another garden that was a spiral, and I made a garden, step-up garden, and Beatrice came up and saw him, and she said, oh, I think you should have a peace gathering. And I said, I want to do a rainbow garden along the fence. And I wanted each 8-foot section a different color of the rainbow flowers in it. Mm-hmm. And she says, okay. And I said, so it'll probably be next year. Well, a storm came through, a windstorm, and actually uprooted 2 trees. And while the guy was cutting up the apple trees, I said, I really want a garden here. And he says, well, I can plow it for you. And I said, how much? He said, $25. I said, okay. And I had peace gathering right then. It was like, boom. It was amazing because I went to Lowe's, and I buy half-off bags, and I wanted some peat to add to the garden. And normally they will not mark them down because they're so solidly packed, but he gave me 3 large ones, half-off. Mm-hmm. So it was like, I said, oh, like God gave all this stuff here, and I'm supposed to do this, so I did.
Mm-hmm.
And the first peace gathering, I was so busy about details. Oh, this has to be done. This has to be a certain way, and this has to be a certain way. And I was so exhausted by the end. And what I realized, though, was it was to become at peace within yourself. So actually, it taught me that. And so I continued to do those. And I still do them. I've actually, my neighbor who lives right beside of me, he had never been in my yard. You can see it because it's only a, there's only a chain fence between us. And I said, you want to come over and see my garden? And Kane came over. He wasn't even 6 feet inside the gate. He said, it's so peaceful here. And I thought, well, and see, he was feeling what, because people have bought stones, they've bought flowers for peace and some other gifts. But because of the energy there, it's very solid here. Actually, one psychic had told me that the gardens were done. It was up to me whether I wanted to do anything else or not. But she said it's complete here. And
Do you feel it's complete?
I feel like even, Do I?
Do you feel it's complete? Yeah.
Yes, I actually feel complete. Even though I did another garden this year, I had a tree removed, and it be someone. I saw this frog bird bath, and I bought it because it was at Cracker Barrel and was on sale. And I said, oh, I wonder what frog means. And it means cleansing in Native American. I said, this is what I'm going to dedicate this year. And so I put some frogs in it, concrete ones. And I said, this is, and so I made a pathway. And we did a ceremony this year. And otherwise, I felt, what I was trying to do is balance what the tree that had left. It was right big, and so I put three big boulders there. And it feels balanced. It feels complete. So, yes.
Beautiful. Now, did you have a peace gathering this year?
Yes, that was the frog cleansing garden I dedicated during.
Yeah. So you dedicated and you had people come and everything still, right?
Right.
For the ceremonies, and you're in West Virginia, right? So
near Martinsburg.
I'm sorry. What did you say, Mary?
Near Martinsburg.
Okay. So you're in that area. So you're going to do another garden next year?
I don't know about another garden, but I will.
Or another gathering, right?
Right.
Yeah. Would you let us know when you're doing that so we can put the word out that people can know where to find you? And I know, too, because I've seen the model, that you have a vision for a center. Would you share a little about that with us?
I have this vision of a center of gratitude. And I've actually built a model of a building I'd like to call Balance, which is the Spanish. It sounds so romantic. It's the Spanish way of saying balance. And in there, I'd like to see where there is dancing, where there's programs put on, where. I'd like to see if basically the mission statement would have been to unify mankind by offering a variety of modalities by which the individual may choose to become self-empowered with an open heart full of gratitude. That was my mission statement.
That's beautiful.
And the vision is
beautiful.
I'd like a pathway of peace. And this, I kind of channeled what it should, the pathway should look like. Of course, it would have a water fountain in it and flowers around there, too. But I'd like to, the path itself, I'd like to make it bricks of, I'd like to have men's name or women's who died fighting for our country. And then I would like to have a circle of stones, a square of stones around this whole path that would be men that fought or women and did not die, because I think they suffered the, they have suffered the most. I actually have a story in my book of a Vietnam veteran that I met. And around this square, I'd like a circle of anybody that would like to support peace and have
beautiful.
Their name on it. Go around. That's my vision. That's one of my visions.
That's beautiful. Now, this vision, if somebody goes to your website, can they actually see what you what the vision is? Is there access to that on the website?
There's only, I think I only have a picture of the Balance in there.
Okay, but there's actually a picture, so that's good. So it, that's wonderful. And would you share with everyone what your website address is?
It's www.healingpointofview.com.
That's pretty simple and direct. TJ, do you have anything there that you want to ask Mary? I know we're going to have to close in a minute.
No, I'm just actually online right now, and I'm looking at your peace garden. There's a photo of that. It looks like a couple other ones. So it's there's a little statue I see, it looks like. Even places where people can sit. Looks pretty nice.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have been there. Yes.
Several times.
Yes, I have. I've been there several times, and I can attest that the energy is amazing, amazing. And again, Mary, I want to thank you for coming on the show. It was a joy to have you.
Well, joy, it was a joy being here. I had to do a play on words. I think we have to end with your saying on your telephone job, on your telephone piece is an inside job.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you. Thank you for sharing
that. Yes, and thank you, TJ.
Thank you, Mary, for sharing that.
Okay.
Yes. And TJ, thank you, brother, once again for co-hosting with me.
Woohoo!
Thank you.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Sure. Woohoo! And I just, that's right.
Woo-hoo.
And in closing, along, we sound like a bunch of owls here. We're good.
That's
so
okay.
Yes, it is. I just wanted to remind everyone, too, if you're interested, 7 o'clock at night, just a wave of grace and light, and feel free to unify with us. And I also wanted to remind everyone of t-shirtsforpeace.org. If you're interested in getting involved in doing some work to support peace on the planet and working with the kids, we're on 24/7 every day of the year, so feel free to contact me. Thank you for listening, everyone, and many, many blessings, and blessings again to Mary and TJ.